Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, May 13th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello.
Here.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Here.
Councilmember Arnold.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows.
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Here. Item three is our flag salute. We're pleased this evening to have our Arroyo Grande Police Department Explorers. They're going to lead us in the flag salute. If you please would remain standing for our invocation, Pastor Robert Underwood from First United Methodist Church is here to do that for us today. So if you would please stand and join us in the flag salute.
Council members, citizens of Arroyo Grande, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you created us for yourself so that our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Grant to us such kindness of heart and strength of purpose that no selfish desire may hinder us from knowing your will and no weakness from doing it. In your light, may we see life clearly, and in your service, find perfect freedom. Bless our public servants and the citizens of our fair community. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, thank you, gentlemen. If you have a moment, we'd like to hear about the Explorer Post and a little bit about some of the activities you folks have been involved in.
Sure. Some recent activities that are actually going to be coming up. We're going to be helping City of Arroyo Grande with the Strawberry Festival coming up. About 2 weeks ago, we helped with one of the other members of Arroyo Grande Police Department with the bike safety over on St. James Way at the church. So we try to get out with the community to help with safety and to suggest good ways to lead a life. And this program is for anyone aged 14 to 21 years of age. I'm actually going to be turning 21 next week, so this is a good last way for me to get out and to express a good reason why to join the Explorers. It's a great way to lead your life. And thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate all the work that that you do for the community. Well, this evening I have the pleasure of presenting to Don Spagnuolo an honorary proclamation in recognizing National Public Works Week. And I'll read it. Whereas public works infrastructure facilities and services are of vital importance to the health, safety, and well-being of the people of California, and whereas such facilities and services could not be provided without the dedicated efforts of public works professionals, engineers, administrators, representing state and local units of government, who are responsible for and must design, build, operate, and maintain the transportation, water supply, sewage, and refuse disposal systems, public buildings, and other structures and facilities essential to serve our citizens. That was all one paragraph. I should say one sentence. Whereas it is in the public interest for the citizens and civic leaders of this country to gain knowledge of and to maintain a progressive interest in the public works needs and programs of their respective communities. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Tony Ferrara, Mayor of the City of Arroyo Grande, on behalf of the City Council, do hereby proclaim the week of May 18th through May 24th as National Public Works Week in the City of Arroyo Grande, and we urge all people to join with representatives of governmental agencies and the American Public Works Association in activities and ceremonies designed to pay tribute to our public works professionals, engineers, and administrators, and to recognize the substantial contributions that they have made to our national health and welfare. Don, it's a pleasure to present this to you. I invite you to say a few words if you want.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. I'd like to thank you for recognizing National Public Works Week, May 18th through the 24th. This is a wonderful opportunity for us as public works professionals to get out and educate the public on the role and responsibilities of public works. One way we're going to do that, we have several events actually planned for the coming week, next week. We're going to be holding an open house at the city's corporation yard. So everyone is invited to come down and see some of the equipment that we have. That's going to be on Thursday, May 22nd, from 3 to 4 p.m. That same day, we're also going to be having an equipment show at Farmers Market in San Luis. Equipment from around the county, not only the city of Rio Grande, but all of the seven cities in our county will be there, and they'll be represented. I believe that starts at 5:30. We have a short video that was prepared mostly by the American Public Works Association, and it really highlights the roles and responsibilities of public works and some of the questions that the general public has, and it answers those questions by doing a man-on-the-street type of interview. So that'll be airing on our channel 20, our public access channel. So with that, Mr. Mayor, thank you, and City Council, for recognizing National Public Works Week from May 18th to the 24th. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Okay, we're going to move on published on this evening's agenda. Anyone who would like to come forward during community comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close item 7. We'll move to item 8, the consent agenda. If you're following along on this evening's agenda, consent items 8A through 8H are items that the council normally approves in one motion unless there is a particular item on the consent agenda that an individual council member would like to pull for a separate vote, further clarification, or discussion. This is also an opportunity for any member of the audience to come forward on any item on consent. So I would invite those of you in the audience, if you would like to come forward on any of the consent items. Once again, that's 8A through 8H. This would be an opportunity for you to do so. Anyone? Okay. We will close public comment, bring this back to the council. What is the will of the council? Any items this evening to be pulled? I would like to pull 8D for a separate vote. And with that, I would entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8H.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Anything to read in there this evening?
Yes, Mayor Ferrara. Item 8G is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending Chapter 16.04 and 16.16 of Title 16 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code regarding historic resource designation process.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows.
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Yes.
Councilmember Costello.
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold.
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Yes. 8D, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept 8D.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Arnold.
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Yes.
Councilmember Costello.
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows.
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara.
No. Okay, that takes us to item 9, our first public hearing this evening. 9A is consideration of an ordinance adding Chapter 9.26 to Title 9 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code prohibiting the establishment of medical marijuana dispensaries. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
We have before the council a consideration for an ordinance adding Chapter 9.26 to Title 9 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code prohibiting the establishment of medical marijuana dispensaries. It's recommended that the council introduce the ordinance adding Chapter 9.26 to Title 9 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code prohibiting the establishment of marijuana dispensaries. And I believe you had an opportunity to see the staff report regarding the dispensaries.
Was that it? We'll close the public hearing portion of 9A. I want to kick this one off. I asked this one to come back and for the staff report to be prepared, and it was largely as a result of recent actions that were taken by the League of California Cities, both at the Public Safety Policy Committee level and at the Board of Directors level. And it was regarding recent legislation that was attempting to tax the profits of these medical marijuana dispensaries, and which I found quite unusual because, according to the Proposition 215, which created these things here in California, they're supposed to be private nonprofits, but that was kind of a side issue. The main issue is that you know, without disputing the benefits or lack thereof of medical marijuana use, the issue is the manner in which these dispensaries were created through this proposition. The legislation is extremely loose. It doesn't require any record keeping. It requires very little oversight, none by governmental agencies, and so you're left with pretty much what each jurisdiction decides to do with them. Aside from that, there are ancillary issues that have arisen in a number of different jurisdictions, which caused the League to be very, very concerned about it, particularly public safety organizations. So I asked this to come back so that we could take out the ambivalence, if you will, or the lack of clarity in what we have. We postponed this a couple of times and asked for extensions restrictions that we had in place. They were temporary, and I think it's time we made them permanent. So that's why it's back here. And so I'm going to be supporting this. And we'll start over here with Councilmember Guthrie.
Yeah, I do. Am I on here? Yeah, I didn't quite understand why this came in because I thought we already had this in place, but now I do understand that we're making them more permanent. And independent of the whole issues involved here, I just don't see us that this is being something we want to be on the leading edge of. It's certainly complicated, and I don't see the city of Arroyo Grande being one of the lead cities in trying to tackle all of the problems that are associated with this kind of a business, for lack of a better word. And so I can support this as well.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Arnold.
Yeah, I can also support this. I agree that there are a lot of issues that are to be resolved at the federal level before I think we want to be cutting edge. So I've heard no one in the community ever express an interest that this would be something that they'd like to see. And I think we should definitely deal with the negative issues before they become issues. So I can support this. Thank you.
Councilmember Costello.
And I, too, can support this. Until such time as there's some sort of consistency between state and federal laws and that there's a way to regulate against the abuse of the system, I don't think we have any choice. So I can support this tonight also.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you.
That takes us to 9B, our second public hearing, consideration of Development Code Amendment 08-001, a proposed ordinance to amend parking regulations in the vicinity of the village, allowing clustering of lots in lower density residential neighborhoods and to provide additional cleanup amendments for consistency with state law requirements.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council.
Good evening, Teresa.
Tonight, we're here to consider a package development code amendment has a few various things included in your proposed ordinance. The Planning Commission considered components of the proposed ordinance in different sessions starting in February and finishing last month and in April. In general, these amendments include some alternatives to address issues that have come up recently in either land use applications or during advisory committee meetings or that had been identified by staff as something that needed to be brought forward and brought to your attention. And, of course, when we do an amendment, we also try to take the opportunity to make sure that we make any revisions necessary to ensure that we're consistent with different state law requirements and definitions. So beginning with parking issues, and this is parking issues directly in the village area, and this is specific to primarily specifically addressing parking for restaurants in the village vicinity and parking for beauty and barber salons in the village vicinity. And it does have a couple other components I'll get to in just a moment. Essentially, the proposed ordinance before you would decrease parking requirements for restaurants existing and incoming potentially in the village area from one space per 100 square feet to one space per 300 square feet. And additionally, the outdoor seating, first six chairs provided for outdoor dining, would be permitted without additional parking. This was brought to the attention of the Downtown Parking Advisory Committee and is recommended by them as well as the commission, Planning Commission for your approval. It is a significant decrease in parking requirements. It is intended to remove obstructions to expansion and perceived problems for establishing restaurants here in the village area. And it is also to encourage the ability to provide for some outdoor dining opportunities. Also identified in the Parking Advisory Committee was a potential problem concerning parking for beauty and barber salons in that sometimes they do not provide enough parking for this particular use. And this is due to the fact that many of these establishments have several stations within their business and can accommodate several customers at one time. And accommodating shared parking opportunities or for transit, potential future transit opportunities through the process of a CUP instead of a variance. And the other changes are included in Exhibit A and include some minor cleanup for consistency. And I'd like to move on to the other portion of the ordinance. This has to do with clustering of lots in our low-density residential districts. These are low-density as identified in our general plan, and they include three different zoning districts. This has been brought to the attention of staff during processing of land use applications in these lower density districts where the proposals for clustering weren't being able to be accommodated due to the existing language in our code requiring certain lot sizes and not being able to process through PUD applications. The purpose for trying to accommodate the clustering is to enable continuous open space and or protection of sensitive habitat in these areas. Generally, specifically, the three districts affected include the residential suburban, rural residential, and residential hillside districts. Again, this would allow for PUD applications for subdivisions if there is a permanent protection of open space for either habitat or a corridor or to avoid the steep slopes. And it is for these specific purposes as noted in the code. And this is a difference in other PUD applications applicable to other lower higher density districts. For the RS district, which is 2.5 dwelling units per acre, the clustering is allowed given a recent change in the code, but not through the PUD process. For those projects conveying open space to the public purpose. However, we've run into some instances where if you can't apply deviations through the PUD process, it is just difficult to cluster those lots and to get reduced lot sizes and setbacks in place. In the residential hillside district, this is one of our lowest density districts, PUDs are allowed, but we do not require that there is a conveyance for open space. So that's a little bit of a different situation, and that's a component that we want to be able to include or have included in incoming applications. And for the rural residential district, this is a 1-acre lots. There is no provision to allow any clustering right now in our code. The standard lot size is close to 1 acre, and that's what the district is designed for. The general plan requires the city to accommodate the development of large lot conventional subdivisions within these low density areas. So the issue was, are we still maintaining this rural character if we allow clustering in these low density districts? It was discussed at the Planning Commission in that the rural character could be northernmost yellowed area on the map. This was actually affected as a clustered subdivision. The 5 lots just to the north of Village Glen are protected through an open space easement. The James property to the west, northwest is... Thank you. James' property here is vacant and would be affected by this proposal tonight. The Miller Way is another neighborhood that's zoned RR, and that is protected in terms of further subdivision. So by a design development overlay through zoning, and that would not be affected by the tonight's ordinance. And then the vicinity down here to the south eastern section of the city has no open space provisions that we're aware of, and that could be considered potentially affected by allowing clustering in this district. This isn't the first time you've heard of trying to balance this rural character and clustering. We've made sure to use the existing tools available to us through zoning, through lower density development, through increasing lot sizes with slope, and with addressing separate developments as they come through the land use process with zoning and conditions of approval for open space restrictions. And it's important to note that PUD applications now and given tonight's ordinance would not change any densities as prescribed in the general plan. The modification is essentially to allow a reduced minimum building site area with the provision of permanently preserved sensitive habitat or public open space corridors and to avoid development of steep slope and ridge lines. The benefits include allowing the opportunities for this public and continuous open space versus private open space. However, it may lead to a changed character of areas expected to be acre lots. Your package contains many pages of Planning Commission notes for these development code updates that's contained in your ordinance. However, there's two subject areas that were discussed at Planning Commission and were not recommended to come forward to the council. I just want to touch on those. I included different alternatives to address issues with massage studios and a potential rezone on Whiteley Street from single-family residential to village residential. So the alternatives and recommendation for you tonight is to introduce the ordinance, to modify or introduce the ordinance, or to consider alternatives and or to provide direction to staff. With that, I'll conclude and be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa. Any questions, clarifications on the staff report? Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I did look into, the approvals regarding Village Glen, and I believe it was part of the discretionary action to reduce some lot sizes, and I'm not, you know, entirely sure about the existing lot sizes prescribed in the code at the time that project was brought forward. But it's true that the PUD applications weren't available at that time for that zone.
Then last question, and I'm pretty sure PUD would still be discretionary for us. So we would not have to allow an area that's zoned 1 acre to do the clustering if we decide that there was some detrimental impact. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And the PUD application does come with some its own special set of findings, whereby you have to, you know, prove that the intent is the design is not only to meet those findings in our code, but it would have to meet the purpose identified here for public open space, habitat protection, or avoidance of steep sloped areas.
That's all, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Councilmember Guthrie.
And two questions. One is the on the barbershops and beauty shops in the village. Are there any barbershops or beauty shops that have over three stations now in the village? Is there going to be a legally nonconforming business?
Yes. I didn't walk into all of them. We've noticed about 15 in the vicinity of the village. And these would include nail salons and so forth. There's probably two that definitely include more than three stations.
So there are a few affected by the, and this has to do with the shared parking on and possible transit. Kind of a vague term there, and a CUP process. And in the other areas where we allow shared parking consideration, we have some fairly specific numbers associated with it. I didn't see that in here. Are we going to have – is there similar numbers for that you can get up to a 60%? And, you know, I've forgotten what the actual number is, but is there that language? Because I didn't see that. But
no, we don't have a number in this particular ordinance. However – if you wanted the 10% parking reduction that's existing in our code for shared parking purposes, for example, you wanted to deviate that from that standard, say you wanted a 12 to 15% deviation, the proposal would enable us to consider that through a CUP process, through discretionary action, and through the CUP findings instead of those very difficult variance findings where they'd have to show that unique circumstance to the property that doesn't lend itself well to trying to encourage shared parking scenarios in various portions of the city.
I guess somewhat into commentary, and I have something of a concern with that, is as soon as we get into a CUP process where we don't have things fairly spelled out, then there's kind of an inferred right to it, for lack of a better word. PUD process, I think we have a very similar process problem with. And so I'd prefer to see some sort of language in there that says up to, you know, this based on these findings or something. I mean, I realize we're getting towards a variance. I understand the difficulty of a variance finding it.
Where I could find down on Grand Avenue somewhere. Could you repeat for me the rationale behind the change for the salon parking?
Again, this was brought up in the downtown parking advisory committee, and immediately when it was brought to my attention, I recalled seeing what we call a listserv summary floating around the cyberspace summaries available to planning staff. And what it is essentially different jurisdictions, counties, and cities can post inquiries. Problems, issues, you just send out a listserv saying, wow, you know, we're really having a hard time with parking in our village, especially concerning, you know, beauty salons. Is anybody else encountering that? Well, some other city sent that out specifically pertaining to beauty salons and got several responses. I remembered seeing that, and so I am aware just by that fact that it is an issue shared by many communities for this particular land use.
Thank you. And then you also got a list. I don't quite understand the terminology, how you use it as a verb or whatever it is, but the listserv responses that you got on the restaurants, the staff is recommending that we go from one parking space per 100 square feet in the village to one to a two-third reduction to one space for 300 square feet. And yet, looking at the listserv responses that I could translate into spaces required per 300, there were 14, and I came out with about four spaces per 300 from the listserv responders. Why the recommendation for the village for us to go to one-fourth of that?
The reason we're proposing the one space per 300 square feet is it is the parking standard for businesses and offices, for example, in the village. It also is specific to the village area in that we have a mixed-use area that's considered pedestrian-oriented and walkable, and that is key to proposing such a lenient parking strategy for restaurants. Other communities measure parking different ways for restaurants. Many measure by one space for four table or four chairs, and that's kind of hard to equate for us for square footage. So
I didn't use any of those because I couldn't equate it either.
It's
but
very
still
hard
14.
To equate. Yes, and so there. What I got out of that listserv, besides, you know, looking at what the general requirement was for some of these communities, is that many communities have a different parking standard for their pedestrian-oriented areas or shared parking, or areas that lend themselves to shared parking, and that many communities exclude outdoor seating from their parking standards. But it is a significant decrease in the requirement for restaurants. And again, it is just to enable restaurants that tend to be drivers for pedestrian activity and tend to attract visitors.
Are the majority of restaurants, I guess, over or under parked?
Without going in and measuring their square footage that's available for public use, I would probably say a guess of 40% might be bigger than the area that they have parking available.
So we're really not going to see a whole lot of, I guess where I'm going with the question is, are a whole bunch of new parking spaces going to materialize if all the restaurants in town all of a sudden have a much lower, I guess the only little concern I have here is, we're already talking about the need for extra parking and the cost to provide that extra parking. And if all of a sudden the restaurants that already exist were to now be able to, I guess, have surplus parking that they could turn around and sell to draw more in. So I think I understand what we're really going to be looking at is not necessarily that there's going to be a lot of surplus spots available, but that any new restaurant that would come in would have a lower barrier to entry, so they would have to provide, say, 10 spots instead of the 30 or something, which, because what are we right now? About, are we $25,000, $30,000 in lieu fee? I don't remember. I know they were raised last year. I know they're
say 24. But
okay, that sounds right. So they are significant. Okay, and so that was my concern, is that we weren't going to just basically end up with two new restaurants and no new parking spaces.
I would say some existing restaurants might be able to put out a table or two or include a table or two with no problems encountered by in lieu fees and parking.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay. I did have one question, Teresa. When we're able to create the common parking facility in the area adjacent to the village here, seems to me the rationale for doing that is number one, to promote, you know, the economy of the village and, you know, have sort of a business-friendly environment by creating additional parking spaces for all businesses. When we're able to do that, and if need be, even expand it once it's in place, as we've been discussing the past couple of years or so, how are we going to reconcile that with, let's say, a salon that wants to come in, and now that we have, in fact, established that common parking facility, Is that in and of itself justification or reinforcement for a CUP based on the new language here?
Well, I would say,
at what point do we step back and take a look at parking overall and what we've created as, you know, in the form of a common parking facility?
The parking, you know, studies that we've conducted to date indicate that, you know, we're meeting our parking demand to some degree. I would say that if we get to the point where we are ready to proceed with a actual shared garage or
is there grandfathered in for whatever their space is based on the fact that there is parking? Since we've now made the requirement exactly the same, so one of the businesses that's been around for a long time and actually has no parking associated with it at all, and they decide to convert from retail to restaurant, are they going to do it just based on the square footage they have? They're actually going to never have to provide any parking, even though they were an office use before and now they're a restaurant use, just so I'm clear on that. In other words, since they actually have no parking, they're just grandfathered in based on their existing square footage, they could convert it back to a restaurant.
Well, a change in use would actually dictate a new look at their requirements. So I wouldn't necessarily say that somebody who's grandfathered in for an office use and changing to a restaurant use, if they had a non-conforming situation with parking. And however, we do have other code language that enables parking relief in the village that they might be able to fall under. This ordinance before you tonight doesn't do that in and of itself.
This really relates to a new building, not an old building. Or it could be an old building that, in fact, has parking directly associated with it.
Ask it then.
Sure. I would say if you're establishing a new use, it's a change in use, and you have to look at the requirements for that new use and the grandfathered requirements that were attached to that old use may not follow it.
Sorry to add to that, but you have the right, the council has the right sua sponte on your own motion to bring a use permit forward if you find that any condition within that permit is detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. So if there was a concern with regard to the lack of parking, you'd have the right to pull that up and look at it on your own merit, even in a vacuum. You always have that right.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. This is a public hearing, and at this time, I would like to invite any member of the audience who's here this evening, perhaps, to speak on 9B. Anyone who would like to do so, please come forward. No one? All right. We'll close the public hearing portion of 9B, and we'll bring this back, and we'll start with Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In looking through the packet, I have no problems with the proposals before us. The parking situation, I inquired earlier whether we had a specific problem in the village right now with beauty salons that existed, and was told we do not. And I can see where if we have anybody who wants to expand and go to three new stations, we may then at that point need to do something additional. But I've got no problem with that. And the clustering of the lots to the RH, RS, and RR, I have no problems with that either. I think that it's a reasonable way for us to move at this point. I can support this.
Benefit of the results from that, and whether any of that results in a recommendation for change zoning in that area. So,
they'll be revisiting that at some point in the future.
Yes.
Make a recommendation. All right. With that, then, I can definitely support all the recommendations that have been made tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
Yes, I too, I mean, it's not a deal killer for me on the language regarding shared parking, so I can support it. But I do think that'll be problematic going forward. I just know as soon as you have any vagueness, it's subject to interpretation for what the amount of shared parking possible is, that, you know, we're going to see some pretty big numbers in shared parking potentially. And I do think, particularly on the clustering, I think that's a good way to go there. I do think that's clearly I'll call it the new way of achieving rural character, is that for a whole bunch of infrastructure reasons and environmental reasons, the large open spaces are far better than one home per acre. And so I'm glad to see us moving that direction, even if it's only affects a few properties. But so I can support everything in this tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. Teresa, I have one leftover question that just occurred to me. If we were to pass the ordinance as recommended by staff, practically speaking, what sort of expansions would you expect into existing restaurants? I'm not that concerned with inviting more restaurants in. We have, by my count, 15 restaurants and bars, 13 restaurants, 2 bars. And I'd like to see the existing restaurants thrive and bring more people into the village to support all the commercial folks there. But do you have any idea how far the average restaurant could go in expanding? Since I believe you told me that if someone applies for a permit to expand, they have to sort of play catch up on the parking that they're underparked and then pay for any new parking. And I think they're going to calculate pretty carefully. What are we looking at, do you think? Because along with the expansion comes more traffic and more need for more parking.
I think you have diverse and unique restaurants in the village in terms of space. I would anticipate, just by inquiries at our counter, some minor expansions, maybe an outdoor seating, and maybe a little bit of a expansion in existing indoor dining rooms, but nothing really significant.
That's kind of fuzzy, but I can accept that. I'm satisfied with that aspect then, and the salon parking requirement increase is fairly minor, but I think is important to do, and with the clustering also, so I can support the staff proposal as proposed.
Okay, thank you. I guess my own sense of this is that, I know that timing is not the best right now, but I think probably one of our goals needs to be to move towards expanding our overall parking for the village itself and all of the businesses. I have a tendency to want to be as lenient as we possibly can to promote the advantages for our businesses, regardless of category. And I'm not that concerned about the restaurant expansion issue, because in Green or Village Green, and obviously that's not a direction that we're going to go. But the alternative, I think, is to take advantage of the opportunity that we've created by land acquisition adjacent to the village, and to try and promote additional parking for everyone. That should be our goal. And when that happens, I think there will be a balancing of perhaps some of these restrictions, and we'll move to something a little more lenient. I too can support the clustering of the lots in the lower density residential neighborhoods. I think that is absolutely the way to go. We've seen too many examples where without that type of planning and application of standards, we do in fact threaten our open spaces and some of our habitat. So this is, in my opinion, something that's long overdue. So with that, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending portions of Title 16 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code Development Code Amendment 08-001, amending Arroyo Grande Municipal Code Chapter 16.56, parking and loading requirements, including parking standards for barbershops and beauty salons within the village core and village mixed-use, BCD and VMU, zoning districts, amending Chapter 16.32, residential districts regarding the clustering of lots in lower-density residential neighborhoods, and amending Chapter 16.04 definitions and 16.20 subdivisions for consistency with state law.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Thank you. Item 10 is continued business. We have none this evening. 11 is new business. We have none. Item 12, city council member items. There are none listed on the agenda. Item 13, city manager items. Anything this evening, Steve? Item 14, council communications, correspondence, comments.
I would like to just mention while we're talking about restaurants in the village, I've had a chance to dine in several right now, and in talking to a couple of the owners, I know that business is off a fair amount, and they're definitely stressed right now. And so I would like to encourage everyone that if you're going to choose a restaurant dining location and go out, choose something in the city. And the village and the rest of the restaurants would definitely appreciate it.
Second.
Okay, any other council communication? All right. Well, I have just a bit of good news, and has to do with our monument signs. Some of you may know that we've undertaken the task of putting up some new monument signs to do two things, actually. Number one was to make our large entry signs to the village and to the city consistent with some of the newer signs that we put up in the village and also in our parking medians by the Shell station as well, and we'll be putting up new monument signs for the village. And we would also like to encourage both members of the audience here this evening and also our television audience. Once again, we have our volunteer organization that's working throughout the city, Arroyo Grande and Bloom. We could use some volunteers. We work most Saturday mornings from 8 o'clock until around 10:30 or 11. And so we can always use some extra help. And we have organized projects throughout the city, and they're doing a really wonderful job and starting to make our city really look nice. And so if you'd like to learn more about it, you can get a hold of Bob Lund, who's our volunteer chairman. Pretty much everybody knows Bob. He's the president of the Village Association, and he'll get you squared away, and we'd love to have you come out. Okay, item 15, staff communication. Anything tonight?
Mr. Mayor, yeah, just a reminder for the council and also to kind of announce for the public's benefit, a couple workshops coming up, one this Thursday, the 15th at 4 o'clock is the design workshop on potential project by Greg Nestor in the village, which is a joint workshop with the ARC Planning Commission and HRC, which is a little different process than we've used in the past, but kind of designed to assist the developer by giving them some comprehensive feedback early on in the process. So we're anxious to see how that goes. And then May 29th at 6 p.m. will be a budget workshop that we've scheduled.
Okay, and I was intending to adjourn the meeting and announce a special joint meeting on May 15th, which I will do. Okay, that takes us to anything else, Steve? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, that takes us to item 16. This is our last community comments and suggestions. Once again, this is an opportunity for you to come forward on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. In bringing up parking and walking around the village, Mike and I have the benefit of walking around the village. By the way, Susan Flores, 529 East Branch.
Thank you.
That was fast. I've been getting some feedback and going in the stores and from friends about the extensive two-hour parking. I know we've gone further up and we've gone around to our parking behind Bill's. A little more of the area there is actually two-hour parking. And it's been mentioned to me by a couple of people that have actually gotten tickets because they're used to getting their coffee, go shopping, do a few things, and have lost track of the 2 hours, which, so I guess our meter maid's pretty on it. With business slipping, and I mean, we're in a recession, you know, or everybody's economy is pinching. I'm not so sure that this extensive 2 hour parking is the best benefit. I would actually like to see, you know, after we've had this in effect a little bit longer, a couple more weeks, to resurvey the merchants, see how business is going, restaurants and so forth, and then maybe just, you know, try a couple.
I actually used your terminology, and I think I referred to it as a boneyard, which it is. Okay, anyone else who would like to come forward? Once again, any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. Okay. Did you folks just come out here to lend moral support? Is that it?
It's the Hill of Christ.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll close item 16, and then we'll move to item 17, and we will adjourn to the special meeting that our city manager referred to, and that is a special joint meeting of the City Council, the Planning Commission, the Architectural Review Committee, Historic Resources Committee, and the Downtown Parking Advisory Board, and that will be here in the council chambers Thursday, May 15th at 4 p.m. Okay, so we are adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.